piece. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.
Everybody, Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight. Glad to have you in here on the early show. Got a good one for you. We're going to actually change the title, but we're going to stay in the same context of our message last night, although we're going to title it a little bit different. We've been doing the internal ring of fire, and tonight we're going to show you what kind of weapons that is formed against you, and what kind of weapons that you will need to crawl through the infiltration course that the devil, or Yahweh, maybe it's Yahweh trying you and using the devil. A lot of people blame things on the devil, and he's just doing what he's supposed to do. He does a good job. He never sleeps. He's always on the job. And so tonight, the title of our message, Call a Friend, and tell them that Pastor Buddy is on with the Shepherd's Call. And we're going to title our message tonight concerning the inner conflict that confirms justification by grace through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of Yahweh. And then you're to grow in grace and knowledge. So the title of our message tonight, Press Toward the Mark and the High Calling, which is in our Father, Yahweh. He's the justifier. He's the one that gives us the right to the tree of life. And so in chapter 3 of Philippians, we're going to go into the message and want you to get right in there with us and to help us and pray for us that Yahweh may bring us to the point of acceptance to actually reach out and to touch the Father in his present position as the head of the body. Now, by being the head of the body, you are a child when you're formed, and then you're commanded to grow. Now, the Bible also says that if you are on milk, you're unskillful in the word of Yahweh. I would not have you unskillful. I would that you grow. I would that you get off the pablum and get off the weak stuff. Get on the meat. Meat belongs to them that have their senses between the flesh man, the outward man, who thinks he's strong, and the inward man who knows he's weak. you don't have to bet against the inward man knowing that he's weak, because he never gets fed. And he would speak to your heart and say, hey, look, you know, I mean, you got a big belly and you weigh 300 pounds and you look at me. I'm just I'm stunted. I ain't got no growth. I won't weigh 50 pounds on the block. The Bible expresses for us to grow. Now the natural man grows. I mean, he's formed as a little seed, just like the Bible says that the spirit man is formed by a seed. If the seed of Yahweh remains in you, you cannot sin because you're born of Yahweh. See, that it's an original seed of righteousness. It's the tree that's planted that can't bring forth bad fruit. That's the inward man. But now you can make it look bad by failing to feed it, by not giving it what it needs to grow, and to withhold the necessary things, and we're going to give you those weapons tonight. It's, Paul says this now, not as though, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14, where we're going to take our text, it's not as though that I have already obtained You know, most people think when they get repented and baptized, they've already attained. Either we're already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended before Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but for this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching before them to things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in the Messiah. And so here we are. We start out repentance. We did run well. What hindered us? We got on a problem diet. You know, we don't want to go to church. We don't want to sacrifice. We don't want to pay tithes. We don't want to do those things that bring growth to the spirit man, pursuing Yahweh. Heaven, pressing, yielding, lending. And you know, some people get, they start out growing. And they run well, but then all of a sudden something begins to hinder them. And you know what it is? Well, look what I done. I went up there and I done all the work and nobody else wouldn't do nothing. Or I bared all the expense and they just sat there on their pocketbooks. A lot of people will do that. They'll take advantage of you. But if you won't let that deter you, forgetting those things which are behind, don't become bitter. Don't become puffed up. Don't become envious. There's going to be a certain amount of people you're going to have to put up with, even if you don't like. Even those that you can't stand to be in their presence. That's one of the golden rules. Do unto others, not as they do unto you, but as you would that they do to you. Now, if you abide by any other rule, you come to their level. And I've warned a lot of people down through life, and I've been in the ministry quite a while, and I know a few things about the tricks of the devil. I really do. Because I fell for about every one of them, so I'm a first-hand experienced when it comes to the Paul said we're not ignorant. That means that Paul was updated periodically by falling into the hands of the wicked one and letting the wicked one wring him out and run him through the ringer. Well, I've been run through the ringer enough that I know a child or an undeveloped spirit that's weak, he's got no business going out here and becoming a devil chaser. Because sooner or later, you'll see that the devil will just run far enough to get you away from the herd, and then he'll come back on you like a mighty force. And you'll think that all hell is broke loose. And you'll be in so many traps, you'll fall in so many pits, that you'll cry out, Yahweh save me. Just like Peter, I mean, he jumped off on the boat and into the water and went to walking until he looked down. Now, when he looked down, I bet the first thing the devil put in his mind, did you know that this lake is 300 or 400 feet deep and probably more? And God, when he thought of that, no doubt, his heart failed him and down he went. And Yahweh told him, he said, why did you doubt? Now, let me show you something. The techniques, the updated techniques, you got to stay up and abreast. The devil's not going to use the same technique on you every time because he knows that you are a slow learner, but although you learn slow, you keep having the same old trick played on you, and you're going to wise up. That's why the Bible says to grow in grace and knowledge. Feed that inward man. Give him the things necessary to make him strong. Notice this. It is not the manner of the kingdom of God. It is the progressive manner in which you grow, which is directly opposite of the addiction to the surrounding that you get comfortable in, and then when that changes, you panic. Believers, under the administration of the Holy Spirit, go from glory to glory. Remember in 2 Corinthians 3:18, that's what the psalmist David declared, for those in Zion would go forth from strength to strength. In Psalms 84:7, strength to strength, not strength to weakness. See, you're to step out on faith and grow in grace. Grace is something that you're going to need. If you don't take grace with you, boy, the devil's going to wind you up. And most people that can't believe in grace believe in serving of the servitude of law. Now, remember this. I'm not against the law, because you cannot go to heaven if you don't keep the law. What is the law? That's the $64 question. The law has changed from glory to glory, or from strength to strength. The gospel generates a manner of life described as from faith unto faith. I don't mean that you jump from one faith and go to another faith, like, well, what faith are you? Now, that's a silly question. You can say, what do you believe? What's your belief? Now, there's only one faith, and by one faith, and one spirit, and one baptism, are you going from faith to faith? Romans 1:17. These expressions that I just give you here describe a process with which the world is not familiar. It is the advancement and spiritual development of your very inward man that has to grow as he presses toward the mark and the high calling which is in Yahweh. Do not let the devil, do not let him step in, and don't let him beat you and defeat you before you ever even get off the ground. Now, if I know what I'm talking about, and I think I do, then you must, by all means, know that Yahweh is a thorough guide, and that Yahweh is going to give you the sure mercies of David. Now, why would he do that? Why would Yahweh want to give you the sure mercies of David? Because he knows you're going to need them. David needed the mercy. Man, when he sinned, I mean, see, the devil would tempt him, and here he went, he numbered Israel. Boy, when he did, he got him a whooping. I mean, 70,000 of his own brothers and sisters and neighbors lost their lives. The angel came down just because he was tempted, and he did promote and provoke the angel to come down and kill 70,000 because he won a census. He wanted to number the people of God. Did you know that it's so few that it would surprise you? Did you know there were 8 souls in the first world that got promoted to the kingdom? Did you know that Noah, his wife, 3 sons and 3 wives, that they were the only ones devoted to the law of the holy? Keep yourself pure. Now, that don't mean that you go around and you don't get no dirt under your fingernails. I sort of hate people that ain't got no dirt under their fingernails. And number one, I know that they ain't no count. They're lazy. They won't work. And you know, there's some people that can't work long enough because they feel so dirty when they do work, they got to run and wash their hands. We used to work with a guy in the woodworking shop where I worked. Every 15 minutes, he would go to the washroom and wash his hands with soap and scrub them religiously. And his hands, if they was one speck of sawdust or one speck of dirt, he'd run and wash. And we began to notice the time that he would spend in there washing his hands. And one day, somebody was appointed to count the time he was in the restroom washing his hands. And I believe that day that they docked him an hour and a half. And when he was a very close counter, so when he counted his check, he knew he'd been docked a little bit, so he'd come in and ask why. The Bible said, listen, the point I'm making here, after he was told he was washing his hands too much, the Bible said, be not overly righteous, lest you shorten your days. You can worry and fret that you're unclean and you got to go clean up. You'll never get that outward man clean enough to be accepted in the presence of Yahweh, because the Bible says that his works, the outward man, is like filthy rags. Now, that don't mean for you to get all puffed up and quit trying to serve Yahweh. The Bible said strive or press toward the mark. Now, the mark that he's shooting for is not an outward mark. It's an inward mark. There is an inward man instilled in you that wants to be washed. And how do you wash him? You take him to the river in repentance and in the name of Yahweh. And then you feed him clean food. You don't go out here and start eating unclean meat like everybody believes that once you get saved, and you can eat anything. Everything now is clean to you. Nothing to be refused. Notice this. You gotta keep on and maintain a sustained zeal by a system of law. Not a system of outward law, but a system or a system in the cistern of a spiritual law. The Bible said the law is wrote and instilled on our hearts. In Israel, when they received the law, it was a outward law. They had to march according to the outward law that was written on the commandments. And the Ten Commandments are still a universal, it's a benchmark, if you will. It's something that you must keep. The first one is to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the other one is not to have any idols before you. Third one is so on. And the fourth one is so on. You've got to keep those. By keeping those laws, it's in other words, it's a pattern that never changes. It's Yahweh today, yesterday, and forever. But there is some laws contrary to you that were superseded by the written on the heart law. Now, you say, well, I don't understand. Well, we no longer have the need after the blood was offered once and for all. Now, that blood covered every sin that was the mark. Sin is missing the mark. Well, when you press toward the mark, and you conquer the mark. The mark is for you to get to a certain place where then you know that your efforts through the zeal that you have has obtained information within the inward man that you didn't get perfect by doing something in the outward. You were made perfect by being who you were and from where you were, because you're born not again, but from above. I've said this many times, and I can prove it in the Bible. If you didn't come from heaven, if your name was not on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world, if you weren't chosen before the foundation of the world, If you weren't made partakers prior to coming, you will not be invited to the kingdom party where he will sit with us and drink and eat at the wedding. Now, in the book of St. John and St. Luke, we have the story of the master being caught up and taken away in the death with his bride in the first resurrection, and he's going to reign with them for a certain amount of time, and then he's going to come back, and Christ said, let this day be written in your hearts that you, after I leave, you remain faithful, you remain zealous of the truth, you preach the truth, and by your efforts, you can save yourself and them that hear you. Paul said he labored more abundantly than all the rest of the apostles in 1 Corinthians 15:10. It was not because he was younger or stronger or more favored. It's because he had access to the aids that was present. The weapons of his warfare was not carnal. And if you are experiencing a religious effort through carnality, you have a worldly sorrow. If you're only doing it because in the carnal you want that outward man to be saved, he ain't going to be saved. By laboring more abundantly, it was because he saw more. His heart and mind was ravished with the grace of God. His eye had a single goal. He was willing to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ in 2 Corinthians 12:15. The world, even the religious world, could not match the glory of the things that he was shown that were inutterable. He was not allowed to speak it. He couldn't bring the right words. There was not a vocabulary for explaining what's laid up for them that love and serve Christ on the faith level. You know, people that think they earned their grace, or they've done something worthy of having the grace installed. Ladies and gentlemen, let it be said forever that Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His faith never fails you. It's most of the time you fail the faith to walk in his laws. Now, his laws is to love Yahweh with all of your heart. It's a single goal. There's not two gods to love. There's not three gods to love like the Trinitarians preach. He's the same yesterday that was in the yesteryears, that when he introduced himself to Moses, he said, I am the causative verb to be, Hayah Eliasher Hayah. Yahweh wants you to know that forever this debt that you owe that you couldn't pay. There was no way. Actually, you didn't do anything. What did you do before you got here? Did you sin before you got here? Well, of course not. Did Adam sin? No, he did not. Who sinned then? Who was in the transgression? The woman, the weaker vessel, who did not have a single eye, if she had stayed with Adam. She separated, and Satan, wise enough with the tools in his arsenal, he carries a bag of tricks, ladies and gentlemen. The first major trick that he pulled out of his bag was miscegenation, adultery, fornication, and just like his offspring is today. And you know, today nobody ever mentions that the Canaanite seed is still on the earth. The churches don't have a warning sign on the outside door. If you're a Canaanite, please do not come in here. You're not welcome. We hate Canaanites. Oh, no. Everybody here now is fair game to be saved and drug in to the baptismary and for you to join the church. The world, even the religious world, cannot match the glory of the things that Paul was a privy to. He said the woman was beguiled. And about 50 years ago or longer, I sat down and I read that verse of scripture in Corinthians. And my, when I looked in the Strong's, I looked up the meaning of the word beguiled. It means sexually intrigued and perverted. Satan beguiled her. He deposited his evil seed within her womb. Yahweh, having no way to defeat that, he likewise had to mate with Eve as the two prototypes. Now, a lot of people don't understand this, but this is a prototype likeness, a metaphor that's used in the beginning in the garden. Satan had to be partakers out of the adulterous union or lust he had in his heart. See, he's an adulterer. His seed are known as adulterers and fornicators, as was Esau. Esau did not, I don't care how much you preach, that the Bible would sustain that Isaac was the son or the father of Cain or Esau, you'll never get me to believe that. I do believe that Rebekah, Isaac's wife, was chosen by Yahweh to keep the seed pure. But I do believe under the power of Satan. Now, his weapons, I'm going to get into the weapons, are powerful. His weapons are some of the deepest and mysterious weapons ever formed against Adam. Now, by Paul saying that he pressed toward the mark, the prize, he was talking about how to defeat the weapons of warfare, which are not flesh and blood. This is the problem. If it was a flesh and blood thing, then the title that they put up on their church door was, "We don't want any spirits in here that don't belong to Yahweh." That's what they ought to put up. They don't put up anything. Everyone welcome. Now, we know by practice and by evidence that when you go into these churches, the first thing they'll tell you, you've got to believe our doctrine. You've got to believe it our way. Well, what happened in the Garden of Eden? Well, she eat an apple. And you say, well, let's take that a little bit further. And you get to question the pastor, and he'll say, look, we don't want to get anything deeper than what we've already established as doctrine. She ate apple, and that we're going to leave it there. One of the greatest things as a young babe, I was on album, I was a young Baptist boy, and then when I got about 21, I really felt the need to preach. Felt it before, but, I mean, I got serious at this point. And one of the first revelations that I ever received in the Bible was that she did more than eat an apple. That the sin that was through sexual exploitation, Satan exploited her, used her, and when the Bible says she is the mother of all living, everybody jumps on that scripture and says, you see that? Eve is the mother of everybody on earth. Now, we've got different blood types, kind after kind, that blows that scripture plumb out of kind after kind. There's no use saying kind after kind if Eve is a mother of all of the flesh on the earth. And I'm going to tell you, she's not. She's the mother of all living. She's not the mother of them that die. She's not the mother of them that perish. She's not the mother of Esau. She's not the mother of them that are going to gain eternal life. Because there's none. That's why she had to die to pay the sin. Now, if she hadn't died, then all of her offspring would have had a right to not die also. But she died. That was the penalty. The day that you eat it, you shall die. So then, she was born a spiritual being with life everlasting. And that disobedience, that one disobedience through her brought death to her and to all of her offspring. Be it whether it was good or bad, they all suffered. It rained on death upon the just and the unjust. And the blessed hope and the glorious appearance that we allow through the spiritual blessings as we take upon ourselves to find out the whole truth, preach it, deliver it, and follow the instructions thereafter, and grow in grace and knowledge, and grow up like calves in a stall. You know, one of the happiest things I did as a child, we had cattle. My dad was a cattleman. We had a lot of cattle. We had 40 or 50 head of cattle that we would fatten up and take to the market every year. And one of my jobs was to, the offspring, the little calves, is to, you kept them up. You kept them in until spring. We had to feed them hay through the winter. And if you didn't have anything to feed them, the calves would deteriorate and get the scours, and they would fall away, and some of them would die. But if you had plenty of good hay after they got off the sweet feed, you started putting the hay to them. And cattle, it's an amazing, I've always been amazed. They're a short-haired animal. But as long as you've got hay, I don't care how cold it gets, I believe that there's a certain limit that they, if you don't have them inside protected, that they'll die in the open field. But these cattle are amazing how low temperatures at night that they can stand if you got them hay. Now, if they don't have hay, you got problems. And if you don't have the right spiritual food for the inward man, that inward man is going to have to suffer with the problems of the outward. Now, the outward man, when he gets enough wine in his belly, and he gets nice and warm, and he don't realize it, but he lays down out even if he's in a haystack. If the temperature gets cold, he'll freeze to death. That's nature performing its natural performance. It has no respect to person. And if you don't get full of the holy, intoxicating wine of protection, the Bible said, greater is he that's within you. Fear not the devil. Resist him, he'll flee from you. Grow up like a calf in a stall. March toward the mark. Press toward the mark. The prize. That's what you're running for. You've got a crown of righteousness laid up for you. And ever being with Yahweh, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. The future was not ambiguous for Paul, and it should not be for you. One of the undeniable marks of a degenerate and failing church is its lack of confidence concerning the inward man. If you feed him the proper food, he won't freeze to death. If you give him the right nourishment, he will never hunger or thirst because he has a cosmic connection. And when you practice those rules of engagement to bring down Christ, that is to say, to give him the power to rule in your life, you must surrender. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll surrender and put that confidence concerning your purpose, the mark of the goal toward which Paul pressed is the same one laid up for you. Now, notice, the objective of the heavenly calling, it is the reason that we repent and are baptized for the remission of sins. It is the motivation before Yahweh to save in his people through the humbled approach. He resists the proud, those that refuse to be baptized, like the Pharisees of Luke chapter 7. Ladies and gentlemen, just like Martha, she was worried about the outward external. Mary sought the internal. She was present at the resurrection. She was also present at his death. She went from the flesh man that died as a tribute to Adam, who Adam died because of the result of volunteering. He wasn't deceived, ladies and gentlemen. I've made that very clear. He stayed with his wife as a type of the sheltering love of forever. He loved her. She was a part of him. Just like Christ in you, today's the hope of glory. How could you obtain? How could you overcome? How could you get the prize without Christ in you? Greater is he as you press toward the mark and the high calling, the goal. That's the one that Paul foresaw always before him. His face got like flintstone. And that's why that he ran the race with patience. And that's why that those things that were obstacles that were set before him, he counted them as dung. That's why he fought the good fight of faith of 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Now, the mark is eternal life. That's the mark. That's the prize. That's the crown. That's the sum and the substance of the blessing. It is a gift of God, a promise to his family with the Father. Refuse his son? Would he not get up in the lateness of the night or the early of the morning, even when the weather was foul? Did he not make provision for the prodigal son? Did he not tell Paul when Paul sought that the flesh, the thorn that was put in his flesh to buffet him? Now, when you get too big for your spiritual britches, Yahweh's got something to send your way to humble you, to humiliate you, to break you when you're proud and dotting about and better than someone else and you've got the plan worked out and you're perfect and everybody else is a piece of trash in your presence. You can believe one thing. If you don't get under the person, that person will very soon be over you. The people that you climb over going up the ladder of success is the same people that will watch you fall from above. And great will be that fall. Just ask Satan. He knows all about it. So get eternal life. Romans 2 and 7. We're justified by his grace in order that we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And Titus chapter 1, verse 2, the exceeding great and precious promises that have been given to us can be compressed into a single promise. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. The eternal life plan, the prize that we have now is a pledge or a promise of the fullness that we'll enjoy in the world to come. In this world, you'll have tribulation. Your wife may think you've gone off the deep end. Your husband may consider you unworthy. And he may become belligerent and hateful and cold. Now, the view of the mark as life's finish line. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished the course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yahweh, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now remember, he don't appear with a natural eye. His appearance is an inward work. You can tell the person that's received it. You can tell the person that's had it at one time and cast it away for the world. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't it sad that you started out and run well and something entered you? You grew and you got proud and dotted and puffed up. You thought you was worthy to raise your ugly looking nose straight up when some of the riffraff come around. That riffraff may be the very one that pulls you out of the mire, that raises you up when you need help. It may be those that turn to you that you turned away from. Remember, what goes up always comes down, and what gets down eventually gets up. If a righteous man falls seven times, he's going to rise. It led Paul to say, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. That's that prize. And to all that love is appearing, there's one laid up for you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul's warfare, like yours, has to be waged by faith. It enabled him to complete his journey, to keep the course appointed. It led him through pearls in 2 Corinthians 11:26. It led him through weakness, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 10 that I spoke about earlier. It led him through the rejection of many who wrote him off, who said he was a plant, who said he was not worthy of gaining what you're striving for. There's no man in the written word that is written as much about that had the trials and the tribulations that he had, that kept the faith. And notice this, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, verse 23, his own brethren forsook him. 2 Timothy 4 and 10. Sometimes it led him through discouraging incarceration, jail cell. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Sometimes he was isolated in the midst of the sea, days and nights. But the mark kept him looking toward the author and the finisher of his faith. The mark, keep it in view. Never let go of that prize. Run the race that you may obtain. Keep coming toward the kingdom. Let your inward man out. Let him grow. Feed him the necessary food that will make him strong. Like the calf that I couldn't wait to let out in the spring to get the young tender grass when he had grew his teeth, when he was reared up on mother's milk. And I would have to go in and cut the calf out and turn him into the to his mother to let him get the problem. But when he became to the point of cutting teeth, you put him on solid food. And ladies and gentlemen, the forsaken of some who grew and run well, but now have become unworthy of the prize that's laid up. Be not quick to go out of Yahweh's presence. Do not become puffed up. Do not become proud, unthankful, and unholy. Press toward the mark. Become heirs of the labors. Don't show up when the meal's on the table. You prepare the meal and put it on there and feed everybody until they're full, that they be no hungry. He's promised us in 1 John 2:25, eternal life. And there is no great eyes or little U's. You are one in the Messiah, Yahweh in you, the hope of glory. I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown. He knows your size. He knows just exactly what size that you're going to need. He won't have to reshape them. He won't have to remake them. There is something laid up for you, your spiritual body, the prize that you're going to obtain in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, regardless of whether you're on this side or that side, if you remain faithful. Notice, his faith enabled him to complete the strenuous course appointed him. I wouldn't want to fill his shoes with you. He was beat 3 times with a rod of 39 stripes. He had enough of his flesh ripped from his bones to inflict scars that he would wore to his grave. It's a good thing that old flesh that Paul had and Christ had, that withstood the test, that had submitted themselves to the will of the inward and not the will of the outward. Christ never opened his mouth when he was beaten and slapped. Paul was beat till he was unconscious and left for dead. And yet he got up somehow, probably with a migraine headache. And I don't think they even had Excedrin back then. And so the suffering that they went through, no doubt for days he had to lay up. Somebody probably drug him aside, hid him in a tent. Cold and dusty and weary and tired and hurting. Paul said, I've got to keep my appointment. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a reward. David said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and appear before him? Psalms 42:1-2. But now, Paul said, they desire a better country, that is, heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11:16. Every professed believer who should ask himself, when they appear before their Creator, would the Creator be ashamed to be called a friend or a Savior or a Redeemer? I want my Redeemer to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. That mark relates with the resurrection. Paul said, I know. His old body is laying somewhere in some grave, long turned to ashes. But if he took any pictures, and I hope he did, I'm talking about we can have some type of system that Yahweh would be able to, like a VHS tape, that Yahweh reach down in our soul and record our activities and what we have to go through with to get the prize. I've kept the faith. I've pressed toward the mark. I've sought that better city to come. When will I be made whole? When will all the adversarial relationships be terminated against those that hate us? Your foes will be those of your own household. Don't worry. When you're illuminated and enlightened, you're shown the crown and the prize. Nothing. And I mean nothing. House, land, wife, children, or yea, even your own life, having to give it up, will turn you around. As the song says, and I love to sing it sometimes, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Got my feet on solid rock. Got my love on higher ground. And ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm going for the prize. The mark is obtainable. If it wasn't, Yahweh wouldn't have put it out there. Do you have to love him better than you love yourself? Yes. You have to love him better than you love your wife? Yes. But your wife will be very happy to know that if you love Yahweh better than you love anything on earth, that you'll sure appreciate her standing by your side and holding you up so that you can obtain salvation together. And the removing from the way is only an act of temporary injunction against the children of Yah. You may be thrown off course. You may fail. You may come short. And you know that when you go through the earthquake of life living for the Messiah, the Redeemer, that those things that cannot be shaken will bring the Father himself to be with you according to Revelation 21:3. The way is both new and living, and yet it's old. It is consecrated. It has been walked on by few. And the path that you walk on, if it's narrow and straight, if it's filled with persecution, if it's filled with temptation, count it all joy when you go through that path. For straight is the way and narrow the gate, and a few there be that find it. The condition that we have, which is to press toward the mark, don't overlook it. Paul acknowledged that he has not yet apprehended that prize. The objective of his salvation, which was why he was stretching forward, pressing to obtain it, to finish the course, to run the race, to keep the faith. The expression is, I'm a prisoner of Yahweh. And he had a chance to break away and run from Yahweh. He could have run out of the jail when Paul and Silas found in jail all night long, praising and waiting for the prize. That prize hadn't come to Paul yet, because Paul can't inherit without you, and he can't inherit without me. Notice the Psalms. Psalms tells us in 110, like the shepherd that brought the lost sheep home on his shoulder, Yahweh will never let one of his sheep. Though he goes astray, yet will I find him. Though he makes his bed in hell, on up the walls and the gates and the doors, I don't care how bound and how tight they are, and I'll deliver you from the bottom of the barrel of the satanic mess that Satan can make of your life. Don't miss the glory of the truth that Yahweh will never let you down. It's an attainment. It's a foundation for our acceptance. It was an extensive effort. Yahweh learned his obedience by the things that he suffered. And don't think if you're going to get it any cheaper. Oh, you may listen to a preacher that knows a few things, and he might sugarcoat it for you and make it sound easy. But when you get the meat that endures to everlasting life, you'll get off the pablum. You'll never go back. Once you've tasted and been filled, you'll never miss it. Praise Yahweh. Well, I got to get off here. My time is far come too fast. I love you, Yahweh, and I love you tonight. May Yahweh, may he bless you. May he give you the joys of the kingdom. May he arrest your soul. May you become his prisoner. And may you never escape his love. Let him keep you until the kingdom comes. Call me tonight. Area code 423-351-1082. Call my cell phone. 423-259-0606. Write me. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark, down in the great state of Mississippi. And all those that love the gospel and support Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call, I'll see you tomorrow night, live around the world on WWCR at 9 o'clock, prime time, in the Eastern time zone, and also in the Central. Yahweh bless you, and until tomorrow night, with part 3 of Who Stole Time and Changed It into a Lie. I'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you.
It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crown. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous too.